Turn to Mark chapter 15. Mark 15. Go to verse 21, Mark 15, 21. And they compelled one Simon, a Cyrenian, who passed by, coming out of the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to bear his cross. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much for your precious word. I pray, my Father, that you would prick every heart that's here, that's not saved, that they would turn to thee even this morning. I pray, my Lord, for all of us that are saved. I pray that you would also speak to our hearts according to your will. We pray, my Father, that we would not just be hearers, but also doers. And I pray, my Father, that above all, that you would be lifted up and magnified this morning, that you would only receive all the honor and glory as only thou art worthy. And we ask it in the precious name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. You know, I love God's Word, and I've said it many times, and I'm always fascinated by it. I continue to read it, and not as much as I used to in times past when I first started, but I still love it very much, and I find it so amazing that that God didn't put all His answers in one little verse where we could just find everything very easily. Because he tells us to study, to show yourself approved unto God, a workman not being ashamed, rightly dividing the word of God. God wants you to get into the book. He wants you to study. He tells you, search the scriptures. And of course, it is God's glory to hide or to conceal a thing. He tells you in Proverbs 20:25. And it is the honor of kings to search it out. We're supposed to search the scriptures, and this is one of those verses, like so many of them, and I think the Lord put him here so that all those people who don't believe in his word, they will always get confused. But when you read especially Matthew and Mark, and many times you find the answers in those books, God uses all of them. Sometimes you find the answer to something in the Old Testament. Sometimes you find it in the New Testament. And here we find that Matthew and Mark, both of them say that the cross was laid on Simon the Cyrenian. You need to read John, and John will tell you that the cross was laid on Jesus. And when you read those accounts, you say, well, there's something contrary. There's something missing. It contradicts itself. But then you read the book of Luke. And the book of Luke will give you the answer. And he makes it very plain. And he says, and on him, that's on 23:26. I'll just read it real fast on Luke. He says, and on him, meaning Simon, they laid the cross that he might bear it after Jesus. So you see what actually took place. It's not that he was the engine of that action. He was merely in the back. They just told him to carry the back part of the cross. He was not bearing the weight. He was not carrying, or rather moving, that cross. It was Jesus, the one that carried it. He's the one that was going uphill. If he had been going on a straight road, I can understand people arguing and saying that Simon also carried just as much weight. But this was not a straight road. It was going uphill. Jesus was the engine. He's the power. He's the one that was carrying the cross. Simon, the Cyrenian, was merely the wheels. He's the one behind. He's just helping out. But it's extremely significant when you see that it was after him, and you'll know as I go along. But you know, in the Old Testament, Isaac was also a type of the Lord Jesus Christ, And if you read the story on Genesis 22, you will find that Abraham got a hold of that wood that would be used for the sacrifice. And the Bible says that he laid it on his son, his only beloved son, on Isaac. Isaac was supposed to be crucified. Isaac is the one that went up that hill. It was in the mountains of Moriah. I suspect it was probably Mount Calvary also. But it was Isaac, the one that carried the cross. So it had to be Jesus to carry the cross all the way up to Calvary's mountain. The Bible could not be, the scripture had to be fulfilled. It could not be broken. So we know that it had to be Jesus that carried the cross. And of course also in Luke chapter 14 verse 27. Jesus said, "Whosoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." Pay attention to the word after. Extremely significant. He had to be after. Now, what I want to focus on this morning, I just wanted to clear that point. I want to focus on Simon the Cyrenian this morning. Simon the Cyrenian, the reason I want to focus on him is because he is a type of the church. He's a type of the born-again believer. He's really a type of everybody out there. He's a perfect picture of all of us. And the first thing I want you to notice, and the reasons why I think he's such a perfect example of all of us, is that he was a nobody. That's what we are. We are nobodies. This guy had just come into town, the Bible says, and he had come from the country. The Bible tells you very plainly that he was just passing by. And that's exactly what we are doing this morning. We're just passing by, my friend. This life is very fast. The Bible tells you very plainly, like it's like a vapor that appeareth and then disappears. We're like the flower that comes up and it fadeth in the evening. And that's how our life is. We're just passing by. We're just passing through. And that's what this man was doing. That's why he's such a perfect example. The Bible doesn't tell you what his occupation was or how important he was, or he doesn't even tell you that he was a leader or who he really was. He just tells you he was a Simon, a Cyrenian, who had just come in from the country and he's just passing by. In other words, he's just a nobody. He's just a runt. He's just a run-of-the-mill. He's just the average Joe. He's the Joe Plumber. He is just anybody and everybody. That's who this guy is. We don't even know if he was really a Gentile. The Bible says that he came from Cyrene. Cyrene is over there by Libya, so maybe he was a Gentile. On the other hand, the Bible also tells you in Acts chapter 2 that those that were gathered at the day of Pentecost when Peter was preaching, it says that there was somebody there also representing Cyrene. That's where we find out that it's from Libya, it's from Africa. I believe God is trying to tell us that's who Simon was. He was just a Jew. Maybe he was a half Jew. We don't know. But that's how we all are. If you say you're an American, you really don't know who your ancestors were. I can say mine are from Mexico, they're also from Spain, but I might have all kinds of mixtures in between, and so do you. We really don't know where we come from. We're all just the average Simon. And to even say, some people would say, well, I think he was Jewish because the name is Simon and it's so common with the Jewish people. I can say the same thing about Mexicans. We just call him Simon. But I still don't think he was from Mexico. The thing is that the Bible does say that not many noble are called. And that's who this guy was. He was not somebody that we can say, oh, he was one of the leaders. He was one of the apostles. He's the one that everybody knew. He was just, and he was not there also volunteering for any service. the Bible tells you that it was the Romans that compelled him to serve. He was not one of those like Isaiah who says, "Here am I, send me, Lord." This guy was not volunteering. He was not reading the Bible on Isaiah 53 like that Ethiopian eunuch who said, "Hey, who is the author of this? Who is he talking about?" He was just passing by. That's the same way like we all are. We're not seeking after God. The Bible says that there is none that seeketh after God. It was Jesus that came seeking for us, my friend. The Bible says very plainly that for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Simon was not looking for Jesus. Just like I wasn't looking for Jesus either when I got saved. I just went to work that morning. I went to work just like every other day. I sat in the back of the assembly room waiting for my name to be called. And somebody came giving gospel tracts to everybody. I didn't ask for the tract. I wasn't looking for Jesus. I didn't want nobody preaching to me. I was just minding my own business. And that's what Simon was doing too. He was just passing by. He had traveled hundreds of miles. And then, who knows, maybe he was looking for a place just to go and sit down and take a shower. Maybe a place where he can go and find something to eat. He didn't care about anything else. But you know, I really believe that it made him very angry. When he was selected and put there in that by the cross, I'm sure he was very upset to begin with. I'm sure he was thinking in his mind, "Don't they know I'm tired? Don't they know I just come from the country? Don't they know I haven't had a shower in weeks? Don't they know that I had other things I want to do? Why are they doing this to me?" That's the reaction of every one of us. When they witnessed to me and gave me a gospel tract, I also got mad. I'm upset. Who does he think he is? He thinks he knows more than me. He works just like me. We do the same thing. Does he think he's smarter than I? Does he think his religion is better than mine? This is the first impression that we all get. There's no doubt in my mind, Simon felt the same way. He was mad. Yes. Then I'm sure he felt ashamed. He felt ashamed because he was right in the middle of everything. He was hearing all the cursing, all the words being spoken, "Crucify him, crucify him." And he's right there saying, "Man, I'm in the middle of all this." You know, I also got embarrassed once I began to read the Bible. Once I began to see that I had been lied to. The first thing that comes to my mind, how can they do such a thing? I've got a degree. I'm a professional. My job is to search for truth. I used to look for evidence at crime scenes. How can somebody fool me when my job is to look for truth? It embarrassed me. I said, how embarrassing is this? Just like Simon. He probably felt very embarrassed. And then as he kept on traveling, I'm sure he also felt pity. As he looked at that man in front of him, his body torn apart, blood all over the place, I'm sure he was thinking, who would do such a thing? How can this man be treated this way? People are spitting on him. Look at that crown that he has on his brow. Look at all that blood that's being spilled. What has this man done? Why are they treating him that way? And he felt pity, just like I felt pity when I realized what Jesus had done for me. It broke me. When I realized that it was him who took all my sins. When he went up that rugged hill with the cross just to die for my sins, it tore me apart. I really believe that Simon and I felt the same emotions. From one end to the other, every type of emotion and everyone that gets saved, we all go through the same. We first get upset. We get insulted. We feel our pride has been assaulted. And then we feel ashamed that we have been fooled. Ashamed that I could have died and gone to hell so many times. I was just so thankful that I had not died, that I was still alive, that I had found the truth, and that now I could call on my Lord to save my soul. But you know, Simon was also caught by surprise. He was just passing through, the Bible says. That morning, he didn't get up and say, you know, this morning, I'm going over there downtown. I'm going to go by there and I'm going to be helping somebody carry a cross. He didn't go with that. He didn't know. He had no idea he was going to go through that. That's how tragedies happen. You never know what's going to happen in your life. This might be the last time you'll ever hear a sermon preached. I have a lot of friends that they're not here no more. But you know, the Bible tells you, Jesus says, your time is always ready. We could die at any time. Amen. You know, one morning, not too long ago, I woke up and usually before I go to bed, okay, tomorrow I'll get up early. I'm going to make some coffee. I'm going to get read my Bible. It was going to be on a Saturday. And I got up and I didn't feel too good. I walked around and walked around. And I told my wife, I don't feel too good. My back is hurting. I feel my blood pressure is too high. I took my pills. Nothing would work. Till finally she compelled me. She said, you need to go to the hospital. I didn't want to go. I didn't realize I was having a heart attack. And then when I get to the hospital and my pressure is brought down to normal, and then they were going to do and put a stent, they said, it's just natural, it's normal, and no big deal. We'll just go in and out, and we'll put that stent right in your heart because you have a blockage. I said, let's go. And I almost died. They had to revive me with those things that shock your body. The thing is, my friend, that we never know.
That's right.
Emergencies, tragedies, they happen when you don't expect it. Many of my friends also had heart attacks. And they're not here anymore. One of them died at work. As he was on his desk, he was a Christian. He just fell over, had a heart attack, and died. Another friend of mine that used to work with me, he never came back. He went to bed that night, had a heart attack, never came back. And I'm sure you know a whole bunch of people that have gone through this. The people at Haiti, when they went to bed that night, they had no clue that many would be losing all their belongings, all their families. The people at 9/11 were real happy on their way to work, and all of a sudden, many died. That's how tragedies are. The thing is that we have to always be ready. And but Simon was compelled. And maybe you're here this morning, and maybe you've also been compelled to come here. Maybe you're here because your parents bring you. Maybe you're here because your spouse, your wife, or your husband brings you. Maybe you're here because somebody invited you. But you know, the bottom line is, I'm glad you're here. Amen. The thing is that we all need to be compelled. We all need to be pushed. Many times I didn't want to do something that I needed to do, and I'm glad I've got a wife that will push me all the time. Go on, go on, you need to do this, you need to go there, you need to go tell them this. And many times I just want to sit there and do nothing. But that's how we all are. We're all lazy. We don't want to do what needs to be done. I just want you to know something. Simon was compelled, and the next thing you know, he's got front seats. This man is on the most horrible day that this world has ever seen, also the best day that this world has ever seen. He had front seat. He was right there in the middle. He didn't have to hear it second hand or third hand. He didn't have to read it in history. He was right there present when all this was going on. And as he was behind Jesus, he would hear the crowds that were saying he said he was God. Let him get out of this. Crucify him. He kept hearing those words. He heard when Jesus says, daughters of Jerusalem, cry not for me, cry for your sons and for your daughters. He heard when Jesus was on that cross and he said, Father, forgive them. For they know not what they do. He heard the conversation between the thief and the Lord. And he heard him when he confessed and he said, Lord, remember me when you come to your kingdom. He heard Jesus say, Father, why hast thou forsaken me? He heard him when he cried, it is finished. He didn't say it with just a little whimper. He didn't say it very low the way they show you on television and on the movies. The Bible says that he gave a loud yell, and the loud yell was, it is finished. After all the earthquake and the darkness and all the things that had happened, finally finished. He heard that centurion say, truly, this was the Son of God. But you know, my friend, Simon was compelled to serve. He was compelled to carry that cross, to help out. But I just want you to know that the Lord Jesus Christ does not compel you. He gives you an option. He gives you a choice. You're the one that has to make that decision. You know, Simon, I believe that Simon the Cyrenian actually got saved. The reason I believe he got saved is because the Spirit of God made sure that it was written in the Scriptures. When he was naming all the Jews, the devout men that were scattered throughout the nations of the world had gathered together for the day of Pentecost. It began to mention them by name, every country after country. It also mentioned Cyrene. I believe it's just so that we would know, hey, that was Simon. And when Peter was preaching, and he began to preach, and he was telling them how the one that they had crucified, that was none other than the Lord Jesus Christ, he told them later on, therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made that same Jesus whom you have crucified both Lord and Christ. 3,000 people got saved. I believe Simon also got saved. He heard the gospel. The Bible tells us very plainly that you have to hear the gospel. When Peter went and preached to the house of Cornelius, they heard the gospel. This is what Jesus came preaching. He says, repent and believe the gospel. This is what all the prophets were preaching. Believe, repent, and believe the gospel. Peter preached, and 3,000 people got saved. But you know, Jesus now calls upon you to carry the cross. The Bible tells us very plainly that Jesus is the one that carried his cross. He paid for your sins. He despised the chain. He was wounded for our transgressions. By his stripes, we are healed. And by his blood, he cleanses us from all sin. So if you don't take up your cross, my friend, and follow after Jesus, Jesus has some very strong words. They're from the Bible. It's not what it's not my words. It's not what I want to tell you. That's what Jesus says. He says that if you don't take up the cross and follow after me, he tells you in the book of Luke, he said, you cannot be my disciple. If you read Matthew, what he has to say, he says the same thing, but he says, you're not worthy of me. These are hard words. But that's reality. Either you accept Jesus or you don't. He's not going to force you into anything. But he wants you to repent. He wants you to have eternal life. He says that he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Now, my message to you this morning is really, don't wait for a tragedy. Don't wait until everything begins to get dark around you. When all of a sudden you want to now call upon God, Lord, look at me. I'm fear. I have fear that I'm about to die. Lord, save my soul, because God is very plain. If you never do all your life, you just want to go through life, do whatever you want to do, and then you get to that point when you're about to die, when you see that tragedy coming, when you see that what really bothers you, what you had feared all along, he says, you're going to call, and I'm not going to answer. You need to call when there's no tragedy. You need to call when you're really calling for salvation. I've talked to people in the hospitals, people that already had been told they're about to die. And when I talk to them and I tell them you need to accept Jesus, you know what? They all do. They say, yeah, I accept him. Forgive me, Lord. I sinned. I was bad. I'm mean. Forgive me. I want to be your child. But I've also seen where those same people have recovered. And then they go about their business, back to cussing and drinking and doing everything. They don't want nothing to do with God. You see, the thing is, they fooled me, but you can't fool God. God is looking at your heart. How serious are you? Do you really mean business? The thing is, if you wait for the next tragedy, and tragedies will come. In the last days, it's not only Haiti that had an earthquake, we're going to have more. And they're going to be in different places. The Bible says in diverse places. Maybe next time is in Texas. Maybe in California. We all like to blame California. They have the San Andreas Fault. They have San Francisco. Yeah, that's all right with them. It might happen here in Texas. The thing is, we don't know, and you don't want to wait around for a tragedy. Because you might not be standing around helping the Red Cross. You might just be a statistic. The thing is that you can't boast of tomorrow. You can't say, well, when I have a more convenient time. Don't go out these doors thinking that, well, he almost persuaded me to be a Christian. You need to repent and believe the gospel. Now, believe the gospel, it's easy. Many people, you know already that it's true. You've seen, you've read enough. It's been proven over and over. It's repenting that's hard. Because sin has a hold of you. Sin has you captivated. The only way the chains can be broken is if you repent of your sins and put your faith and trust in Jesus. He's the only one that can set you free. He said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Let me just make it more plain. Jesus Christ died, he was buried, and he rose again the third day. That is the gospel. That's what saves. If you would just repent of your sins and put all your faith and trust in Jesus, He says He'll save you, give you eternal life. Amen. It's a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Amen. I just pray that this morning, if you have any questions, that you would ask one of us. But it's really between you and the Lord, not between you and us. Not between you and me. It's between you and the Lord. I just pray that you don't walk out without having Jesus in your heart. He will come and save you. But you need to grab His hand. His hand's already extended. You need to grab it and take Him by faith. And God will give you eternal life. He'll save you. And you will go to heaven when He comes for you. Let's stand up. We're gonna sing two.